Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go!
NFL no huddle every single day to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes from right now, if you missed our exclusive interview with freshly paid, Grady Jarrett. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday at 3:20. We will let you hear that interview coming up in 20 minutes at 11:20. I haven't had a chance to hear the entire thing yet. I've heard clips from it, but I haven't had a chance to hear the entire thing yet. A lot of good stuff in there from Grady, though.
Yeah.
As far as motivation and nothing changing and all that. I mean, obviously, you knew that that would be the case.
Right.
You just like to hear somebody say that as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Grady, he's a grinder. He'll never stop. And that's why you love to pay a guy like this. That's why you love to see a guy like him get paid. Because he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely right. You can also head over to our website, 929thegame.com, and you can check out a conversation that Randy and I had about Max Fried in the first hour. Max Fried is on the DL. Does that add any extra pressure to Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves to try to go out there and do something before the deadline? Maybe, maybe not. You got to go listen to the conversation to find out. 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40 this hour as well, so a lot to get to know. Before we get to Falcons training camp storyline number three, which is going to be Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, and the pressure that they both feel this season, a couple other NFL stories to touch on quickly. This 18-game thing is not going away.
It's not.
And there are now reports that the NFL is going to make a sweetheart offer to the NFLPA. Whatever that means, I don't know. We can guess as to what that would mean. But they're going to make them an offer that they can't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
To try to get them to agree to an 18 games. Now, whether it would be 18 games everyone plays in,
yeah.
Whether it would be 18 games where you're only allowed to play in 16, you have to sit out two mandatory games that count against your schedule. However they do it, the rumor is that they're going to offer something up that the NFLPA has to say yes to.
Okay.
What could that possibly be?
A revenue sharing, probably.
More money?
Yeah, probably.
It would have to be money, right?
It'd have to be. What else do you want? I don't care about no damn Roger Goodell and his power or nothing like that.
Even less practice this time around.
Oh, yeah. Okay, guys. You don't have to come to training camp at all. You will never wear pads in practice. I mean, you damn near don't wear them now. So, I mean, but yeah, it's going to have to be somewhere as far as revenue sharing in order for that to happen. I don't see any of the, or maybe healthcare, lifetime healthcare, probably.
Yeah, I mean, and I like that.
Those probably are the only two.
Is that worth it at that point? Like, if they give you a good enough deal, which basically where it's like baseball.
Because mm-hmm.
if you play one third of an inning mm-hmm. in Major League Baseball, I don't even think you have to record an out.
Mm-hmm.
If you step field on the field for a Major League Baseball team, they take care of you for the rest of your life.
Right.
Football is not exactly that way.
Right.
How long do you have to play in the NFL to be vested?
I think 4 years.
And the average career is what? 2.2?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's unfair.
Yeah. Very unfair. Unless they say, okay, the two games y'all sit out, y'all still get paid. Because here's my thing. If you're going to pay me, if I'm playing 18 games, then y'all need to up the salary. I don't want you to split my regular 16 checks over 18. No.
Right.
That don't work. Nah, pimping. But still. My old school self, I'd be like, hell no. I'm not sitting out
in
the game.
I don't want to sit out. I want to play football.
It's a different breed. It's a different breed, Andy. Yeah,
you know,
we saw it yesterday with the acting like little girls by the Madden rating.
Well,
so, yeah. But it's going to have to do with the revenue, possibly the health care, and am I going to get paid for those two games?
You know, you bring up an interesting point about the new age of athlete. It's very cool to not play the sport you're supposed to play right now. Like, any opportunity you get to not play, like in the NBA, load management.
Yeah.
I'm sitting out. Wait a minute. Like, but you're supposed to play. I don't want to play. I'm too good.
Yeah.
If you're good, it's like a threshold thing. Like, if you're good enough as a second-year player in the NBA, you don't play in summer league. But, I mean, but maybe you'd improve. No, you don't want to play? Okay. But if you're good enough in the NBA, then you get to miss 20 games a year because of load management. It's all kinds of, in college, if you're good enough, you don't play at the end of the season or in bowl games because you're trying to get ready for the draft. And I don't have a, I mean, I understand why guys are doing that. They're trying to protect their money. But it's a very in vogue thing in professional sports right now and in college sports. Remember the whole thing with Zion?
Hmm?
Don't play anymore.
Oh, God, don't play anymore.
But, like, wait, but I like to play.
Yeah, he wants to play.
It was confusing to people that the best basketball player in college basketball wanted to play basketball.
That's such a weird thing. It threw them off. Because I'm like, why the hell? Because it kept.
Of course he wants to play.
To me, it kept looking like the people that can't play are the ones that are saying, you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But this guy, this is his career. It's his life. And he said he want to play, but y'all got a problem with him saying that he want to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're the same people that have a problem with guys that sit out bowl games.
Yeah.
To try to make sure that they're healthy for the NFL draft. Because people have a problem with everything, Randy.
Yeah,
People are going to find a way to have a problem with everything. All right, we'll let you hear from Grady Jarrett coming up in 15 minutes. I love what they did. I love the fact that they got this done with Grady earlier this week. Hopefully it means that they'll be able to get something done with Deion Jones and Julio Jones, whether it's before Monday or before the end of training camp or whatever. We know that Drew Rosenhaus is here in Atlanta today, probably up at Flowery Branch, meeting with Thomas Dimitroff and the Falcons front office on Deion Jones and his contract. Hopefully they're able to get that done. I don't know that either one of those things, Julio Jones, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, these contracts, really have anything to do with what we're talking about in terms of the pressure that these guys feel for 2019. I think these contracts help more for later. They might help a little bit for 2019 as well. But the pressure that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff have on them for this season is more about what happens starting on September 8th and hopefully doesn't end until February.
Yeah, I mean, it's make or break, you know, in some people's opinion. I mean,
well, How much is it? How much make or break is it?
Like, you can't go 7-9 again, but I'm saying with a wild card, maybe losing in the first round, with that, I don't think he loses his job for that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so, but if you go 7-9.
It depends.
Because the thing, but look at it this way, Andy, even though they had all those damn injuries and everything, they still should have been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But they let games go. Towards the end of the season, and you know, we know what happened in the New Orleans Saints game and the Cincinnati Bengals game. So
Cowboys game.
I mean, they should have easily won those games without those guys that are coming back this year. So yeah, the expectations is Super Bowl or bust. But is it if you don't? I think if they don't make the playoffs, it's a possibility. I'm not gonna say it's a definite. I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, because again, I mean, this is one of those things where we're really big on old takes exposed right now, and somebody says something, and then 5 months later, without any context given what happened in that season, you know, you get crushed for being wrong.
Right.
Every football season has a crazy amount of context. There's 16 games that have to get played, and if it's similar to what happens last year where Deion Jones misses half the season and other players that are really important to your defense or offense, whatever, if injuries happen and plague your season, I don't know how you can hold that against the general manager and the head coach.
And that's the thing about it, Andy, is that here's the thing. How much credit, how much leeway, how much job security you get for a Super Bowl appearance? Because we know how long you get to coach if you get one.
If you win one, you got job security
for five years. You know what I'm saying? But if you got the one, when does that wear off? When does that?
2.5-3 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So he's had two seasons.
Yeah, so this is the season. Like, okay, Dan, okay, yeah, you went to Super Bowl. And you blew the Super Bowl. Can we get back there?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to go definite if they don't make the playoffs. Now, they look like just crap, and you know, and it's just a bad season. And yeah, sometimes it's time for a new change. But I just don't think this team is going to come out looking like that.
I really think
it's going to be a really good year for this Falcons team, man. And I'm excited about it because all you guys are coming back. You know what I'm saying? You got another year in the league. Your young players are you know, they're a year older now. You went out and you addressed one of your major needs in offensive line. You didn't get any pass rush, but you, Ted, I trust you because you are one of the best defensive line coaches in the National Football League.
Yeah,
so I trust you.
And that's what's interesting about the offseason stuff and how the offseason decisions draft new head coaches, or not new head coaches, new coordinators, new roles that people have, I think adds pressure to Dan Quinn. I think Thomas Dimitroff has slightly less pressure on him because his job's done.
Yeah.
Like Thomas Dimitroff's not like going to go out there and make a crazy trade at some point during the season. Like Thomas Dimitroff knew what he needed to do during the offseason. It was communicated from Arthur Blank, which, by the way, is just a thread that sort of runs through the last few Falcons offseasons, in terms of players getting contracts done. If Arthur Blank says you're a Falcon for life, you're going to get picked.
Yes.
Conversation that him and Thomas Dimitroff had before the draft, the Thomas promise that we always talk about,
mm-hmm.
told him he would address the offensive line, and he did. So I almost feel like because of that, like Thomas, I don't know. It's probably impossible for Thomas Dimitroff to survive another coaching change.
It is.
Like if Dan Quinn goes, Thomas Dimitroff is going.
Yeah, it's about, it has to be.
I'm still not 100% sure that that's true, though.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Come on, man. Eventually, you got to clean house, dude.
Eventually.
But Thomas only been through two coaches. This will be his second coach.
Yeah, but most general managers don't survive what Thomas Dimitroff survived.
Yeah.
Most general managers would have been out with Mike Smith.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think off the top of my head some of the guys around the league. Like Rick Spielman up in Minnesota got all the jobs here in the world.
Yeah.
The Wolf family, they love Rick.
Okay.
Les Snead out in L.A., him and Kroenke are boys. But yeah. It's hard for me to believe that if something does happen to Dan, which I don't think it will because I think they will be good this year, then, yeah, you got to clean house, right?
Again, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on
house.
That. Just the way when Arthur Blank talks about him, he's always very clear to say they're separate people that get treated and judged on separate things. Like, Thomas Dimitroff did what he was supposed to do this offseason. As far as I'm concerned, Thomas Dimitroff accomplished the goals of a general manager this offseason. He got two free agents that are NFL players as opposed to what has happened in the past, which is a very low bar, but two NFL caliber players on the offensive line that they went out and paid, and he drafted two guys. Now look, if Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom turn out to be bums, then Thomas Dimitroff might have to pay for that, but they're not going to know after 1 year if those guys, you have to be really, really bad in your rookie year for them to know that they're total bums.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to call them a bum, but I'll be disappointed if one, not two are starting.
They should be starting.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be very disappointed in that part if neither one of them are. And that's nothing against Juwan Brown and Carp. Let's not say anything against them, but they ain't these guys, right? I mean,
no, Carpenter was a first round draft pick. That was a
long time ago. But I'm not saying they're not good players. But if this kid Lindstrom is who we think he is, shouldn't he be day one?
He should be.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. He should be. And McGarry, too. I'm with you on that. That, though, is not to me on Thomas Dimitroff right now. That might eventually come back to be on Thomas Dimitroff, but you got to wait a couple years to grade draft picks, right? Unless they're absolutely awful. Anyway.
In today's microwave society, do we got to wait 2 years?
What I'm saying is, in terms of the pressure between the two of them, I think the pressure is greater on Dan Quinn, based on all of the decisions that he made in the offseason, to replace the defensive coordinator with himself, to not really do anything on the defensive side of the ball in the draft or in free agency. I mean, they went out and got some guys that have been here before, but they didn't go out and do anything splashy in free agency. The biggest move they made on defense was Dan Quinn is now the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So now the defense, just in terms of my perception when I'm looking at this team, we kind of know what the offense is going to be, right? You can hang your hat on what the offense is going to be. You feel good about that. The defense has to be better. The defense has to be really good.
Yes.
And if it's not,
it's on him.
That's where the pressure comes in.
And that's on him. So that's what I'm saying. Did he add extra pressure to himself by naming himself DC?
I think he did.
You know what I'm saying?
I think he absolutely did.
What if he would have kept, what if he would have kept Marquand or hired somebody else and just been the head coach?
Yeah.
Would there still be a lot of pressure?
There would still be pressure, but I don't think it would be quite the same. Like, putting yourself in that position and saying, look, this is it. Like, this is what I do. This is the reason that I have this job in the first place.
Right.
I'm trying to build this defense in at least the same style. It's not going to ever be the exact same because it's really hard to recreate a defense that was the number one in the league for four consecutive years. But I'm trying to build this defense in the same style that we built our defense with in Seattle. I was co-architect of that. I'm the head architect of this. And I'm the one who knows it better than anybody else. So I'm going to put myself in that position, and we're going to be great because of it. And if they are, we're all going to be spending the fall saying, man, Dan Quinn's a hell of a football coach.
Yeah, we are.
If these guys are giving up shootouts like every week last year, and again, I understand it was injuries, but if it looks like it did last year, we're not going to be saying very nice things about Dan Quinn
on this radio show.
No, we're not. And fans aren't either.
No, but I mean, I trust the fact that he's running the defense.
I do, too.
I do. And again, we know that they ain't bringing nobody in unless you bring in a street free agent who's on somebody's team right now who gets cut at the end of training camp as a rotational player. You ain't going out to get no hellfire breathing.
There's nobody out there.
Rusher. There's nobody out there.
Everybody's been
signed. But you can bring in a rotational guy. I don't know how it's going to work. I really don't, but it better work. Because you said to yourself, hey, Dan Quinn, I can do it.
Yeah, put yourself in charge of the defense. The biggest question mark was Vic Beasley, and you said, I'm going to fix him with my own two hands.
And there it is.
Okay.
All right, show me.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Show me.
Two more training camp stories to get to on Thursday and Friday as training camp gets underway on Monday. We will be live in Flowery Branch coming to you from 10 to 2 on Monday. The morning show will be there as well. All right, we'll come back. Dukes and Bell had Grady Jarrett in studio yesterday. If you haven't heard the interview yet, we'll let you hear most of it coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Speaking of Andy and Randy, you can join us at 92.9 The Game this Saturday. We'll broadcast live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead from noon to 3. Hang out with the Midday Show, lunch, beer. It's going to be the prize giveaways, bro hugs, all kinds of stuff. Come by Twin Peaks and Buckhead this Saturday from noon to 3 and say what's up to me and Randy.
I'll be there.
I'll be there too, man.
And is Wendy coming?
Wendy or Brian, who's with us? Wendy will be there, too.
Wendy's coming, too.
So keep it cool, all right?
You're distant.
Don't be a weirdo. All right. Grady Jarrett was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday afternoon. If you missed the interview, he was in studio. You know, he just signed a really big contract, Grady Jarrett did. He's going to be here for a good long time now. Arthur Blank said Falcon for life. Hopefully that's true. They started off by asking Grady Jarrett, hey, was this a stressful summer for you?
No, not at all, man. I actually feel like I handled it pretty well. I feel like everything was happening in due time, you know. I know I had put the work in, and, I mean, to be honest, y'all, I was prepared to, you know, do however I had to, whether it was playing a tag or, you know, we come to agreement. Glad we came to agreement and worked good for both sides, and we're excited.
You kind of went dark.
Oh, yeah.
You really didn't have too much to say to anybody, and I got friends that are friends with you, and I'm like, man, you heard from Grady? They're like, no, dog, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You went dark for a reason. You didn't want anything to get out there? What was the reason? Or you just wanted to wait till this was completely over?
Like I said, man, I was just letting the process take care of itself. But other than that, I was just, you know, since the season was over last year, man, I was just been in work mode. You know, I've been prepared just to try to just control the things I control. And that's the effort that I put in on the field week in and week out. So I was, man, I've been grinding, training. And most of when people see me, you know, some random dude DM me like on Instagram. He was like, all we do is see you on vacation or doing something.
We get the same thing.
You need to be in the gym working. And I'm like, look, man, y'all know me. I'm putting the work show itself.
Right.
So I'm always grinding, man. But I just really been enjoying family time, man. I really took a lot of time to spend with my family, focus on, you know, some of my off the field stuff. Really just getting a lot of good me time, man. Because, you know, I done put in the work for a lot of things. And I didn't let this process stress me out, you know. And so it worked out how it was always going to work out, and I'm excited.
It's our man Grady Jarrett with us, 97 live in studio here as he's signed his deal, and we're excited he's going to be around for 4 years. And again, this works out great. Gives you a chance to get maybe two big paydays.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Like I said, we're going to focus on the task at hand. I always continue to try to increase every year as a player when that's the plan. So as I continue to improve, you know, I set myself up for, you know, future endeavors as to come. But as for right now, I'm thankful for where I'm at, the work that I put in. I've been blessed, and I'm more than anything, man, I'm just so motivated. You know, a lot of times, you know, guys get a, you know, big paycheck or whatever, and they go to chill and relax. I just feel like it's totally opposite, you know. And so I just, like I said in my interviews early when I went to minicamp, I just feel like there's so much more out there for me and things that I want to accomplish that I haven't accomplished yet. And I'm just ready to go get it.
We were talking before you rolled in, Grady, about leadership on this team. When we're up at the club, we're up in the locker room at Flowery Branch. Guys like Debo, like you. I mean, are you comfortable in that role? Because once you're gonna be here for a while now, man. You're expected.
I've
to kind
been
of be
in
the
that
guy.
Role since I got to the Falcons, man. And you know, my first year was a learning year for me. But since after that first year, I've always been in a position to be in a leadership role. I always had the respect of my peers by the way I work day in and day out. And so it's nothing new to me. It's what's expected of me. And, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So, I mean, that's the role that God got me on this earth for, and I'm going to continue to fulfill it.
Grady Jarrett in studio with us. Did you at any point, we had Coach Quinn on the show, and he was like, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned, you know, talking about you and Julio. And obviously, you know, there are other guys now that the team is trying to focus on. Did you at any point talk to him or Arthur Blank during this process?
A little bit, you know, throughout the process. And but it was a respectable relationship through the whole thing. You know, it was just one of those things that business had to be handled, and the respect from both parties is so high. There wasn't any worry that I was going to go out here and act crazy and do stuff like that, and there wasn't any worry on my end that they was going to do me dirty or anything. if we came to something, we did. If we didn't, we did. It's all good. Like at the end of the day, I was in a position of, you know, still make more money than I've had in my career. But it is, I want a deal, right? But if it don't get done, then it just wasn't in the cards for me. Like, I'm not going to sit there and take it personal because, like I say, this is a business. And at the end of the day, I mean, as long as I take care of myself, I'm going to be all right, you know, and go on the field and do what I do. And I don't have much worry, man. I don't have much worry. I know if I go 100, stay out of trouble, do what I got to do, what I give, I'm going to get back tenfold. So there was no big stress on my end.
So you spoke to him, but it was a good conversation. Things were on the positive tip as far as how this whole thing was going to go, even though they didn't really know.
Yeah,
how
even more
go.
Than talking about the football stuff, when I talked to Q, it wasn't even on no contract stuff. He checking in on me, just saying what's up. And let me know how his vacation's going. Miss Stacy showing me love. Like, I mean, they got. I feel like we have a genuine relationship. To where even away from the, you know, the Falcons, you know, that's a strong relationship that I'm blessed to have with Coach, and to be able to play for Mr. Blank in the organization, man, I couldn't think of a better way if they would they handle it for me. And like I say, there's got to be hard conversations to be had. But, I mean, I didn't have to have them, you know, thankful for, you know, my agents and stuff like that handling business. I trusted them enough to handle business for me, and we came up with a good thing for both sides.
What is Dan's defense going to look like with Dan calling the shots? What is that going to be?
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. Me getting a peek at some of the things during minicamp, man, I just I'm excited to play. And we got some really good players on every level, guys getting more experience year in and year out. Got some young guys ready to step up, so I think it's gonna be definitely exciting, man. I'm definitely excited for the new guys to come on to the team and get AC back. You know, I just think we got some good stuff going.
One thing for certain, you know, you got to get, you know, you can't do it by yourself. We always say whenever you see 97 come out, like no, stay in the field. But you know, you got to take a break. But Tyler Davison comes over from the Saints. We got Jack Crawford, Rashid Hageman's back.
Yes, sir.
What are the guys next to you gonna? I mean, what can these guys do with you?
I mean, I'm excited to play with him. You know, got Tyler come over from the Saints. I mean, amazing run stuffer, man. Then we came out the same year. I'm knowing Tyler, watching Tyler, knowing his name since we came out of high school. So excited to be able to play with him. I mean, Jack Attack, man, he been doing his thing. He had a great year last year. He looking even better as I watched the tape from OTAs. So I'm excited to go hunt with him. Having Big Sheed back, man, I definitely, you know, I just missed him. You know, I missed him as a teammate, just going out day in and day out. And unfortunately, you know, some things happen, but he just, like, he was on his best. He picked off right where he left off, so he's doing good, playing that nose position, and having Sanat, watching him grow. So, I mean, we got guys, man, and it's just so exciting to see the guys hungry for success. You know, I can't wait to see what Tack do this year, what Vic do, and having AC back. That's big. I mean, we got guys, man, even the rookie Kaminsky, man. I mean, he going to learn, but he go hard.
He does. He goes hard. We like this kid from what we've
heard. Yeah, like he, at the end of the day, like I tell rookies, man, as long as you go out there and do your best, you ain't messing up the plays, and you just giving great effort, control what you can control. You know, you don't want to go out there busting plays, but you're going to take some L's. Even as a vet, I'm still taking them, you know? So you can't let that discourage you. But as long as you give great effort and continue to and be open to learn, you're going to be all right. So, I mean, we got guys that's hungry for it. Coach Simpson been doing a great job with us. We already got familiarity working with him. So, We excited. And DQ, a defensive line guy. So, you know, we're going to have the good attention.
All right, this is the Roy Firestone moment. It's Dukes and Bell.
You going to make him cry?
I'm going to try. It is Grady Jarrett. Mm-hmm. Grady's looking at me like, bro, don't do this. You are a local product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
What do you say to kids that now see Grady Jarrett, who just got one of the biggest deals as an NFL player, to say, man, I don't see it. I can't find a way out. I'm not going to make it. You were a fifth-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you just signed a deal that people dream about.
Yeah.
What do you say to kids that are listening right now in Atlanta that can be Grady Jarrett?
Man, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. And if you don't, ain't nobody else going to do it for you. You got to put the work in when nobody looking. You got to, even when it get hard, even when people that you got to sit next to day in and day out telling you ain't going to make it, telling the next person you ain't make it, calling people to go out their way to make sure that you don't make it, you keep grinding and you keep going because you can't stop. Like you say, I'm a two-star high school recruit, you know, fifth-round draft pick. Like I say, the work was always there, but the acceptance from others, whether it be recruiting websites, people who make the decisions about All-Americans, this and that, all conferences, whatever it is, colleges that make the decisions about this and that, they don't get the final word. at the end of the day, as long as you put your work in, it's going to take care of itself. And the story that people don't see, you know, they don't talk about the times like, man, I went to South Carolina, coming through high school, had a great camp. They told me I was too short. I cried in the back of the car with my mama. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many stories like that, man. I done went to Florida, Alabama. So many times, they ain't even know who I was. Like, but
they didn't want to talk to you.
Man, them people don't care about no 270-pound, 5'11", 6-foot dude coming in there with 18, 20 sacks in high school, led the state of Georgia. They ain't want that. You know, it's all about, you know, everybody want the prototype. But like I say, it ain't one like me. And without a doubt, and however you take that, the road I had to travel was my road, you know. And and I embraced it, you know. And if you don't embrace it and you just looking around at what the next person doing, you worry about this and that. You want acceptance. You want this and that. You're going to fall into a place where you're going to feel like you don't measure up. But you got to know in your heart of hearts, no matter what it is, whatever walk of life you in, that you can do it. But you can't get nothing done if you don't believe in yourself. And a lot of people see the work and they see where it at. Like, because I'm in front of you now, you know. But they don't see what it took, all the denial and you know, this and that. But, you know, sometimes people get denial and they go to guessing themselves. One thing about me, I ain't never second guess myself. And I would always say, like, even when stuff was get hard, I don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
This is going to happen. But I just had to put my head down and keep working. And like I say, for even the things that's out there for me that I still haven't reached yet, I know it's going to happen. And that's just, you know, that's just, I mean, I've came through so much stuff and went through so much hardships as far as being denied and just telling that you wasn't good enough and this and that. And I didn't even do it, to be honest, I didn't even do it to tell nobody that they was wrong, like, or prove nobody wrong. I did it to prove the people who believed in me right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to prove it to myself. Because at the end of the day, I wasn't afraid to go out there and give it my all. Like, even when I got whooped, I'll still come back. You know what I'm saying? And I think me taking losses and remembering that feeling how I felt, I ain't want to feel it again. And that's something that, you know, just continue to drive me. And I don't get discouraged in the fact that, you know, things don't, you know, always go your way. But at the end of the day, there's a reason for it. Like, shoot, like even like with the draft, like, you know, like everything coming out with the draft, he'll lay first round, second round, pick at the worst, or second day of the draft. Coach Sweeney called me like, yo, congratulations, man, today your day. And we watching the draft, and my dang old house catch on fire.
Jeez.
And it's like, you know, that take away. Then I don't get drafted the second day. And then it's like, what the world going on? In a span of couple of hours, I was mad at the end of the first round when New England played their last pick and it wasn't me. and people don't, it's like, but it's like, and then when I went to the combine, the only team I met with at the combine was the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. I had one meeting.
One.
I had one meeting. And it's like, you know, and I don't put, like I say, I don't put nobody down, nothing like that.
You're sharing your
story. But you can just go back and look at, you know, my draft class and see where I stand compared to the people that was taking ahead of me or this and that. But like I say, I don't do nothing to prove nobody wrong. I just believed in myself. Like, whether I got taken in the first round or I was undrafted the year I came out, I was going to be standing right here before y'all today.
That's Grady Jarrett from yesterday with Dukes and Bell. There's actually quite a bit more if you want to check out the entire interview on 92.9thegame.com. Hard to not root for that guy.
Yeah, it is.
That's a heck of a story there.
It is.
Congratulations again to Grady Jarrett on the big contract. Can't wait to see what he looks like this season. Training camp starts on Monday. We'll see Grady out there then as well. Coming up next, the Wendy Zone here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9thegame, 92.9thegame.com.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wendy Zone, 1140 every day. The Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line's open, by the way, 404-741-0929. Coming up top of the noon hour, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire world. Chris Goforth going to join us exclusively from SEC Media Days. Day 3 of SEC Media Days. Chris Goforth going to join us in the noon hour. But first, Wendy Adams.
And we're going to start with Randy's favorite topic this week, which has been the Madden ratings and players caring about their ratings.
Not even caring anymore.
They care so much.
I would not get upset about this. So go ahead, Wendy.
Because, you know, we mentioned yesterday Tom Brady and Tom Brady not caring about his Madden ratings. There was someone who tweeted at Tom Brady yesterday, Tom Brady can't run 2 yards. How the heck is he a 96? Tom Brady responding to that, I'm so much faster than you, Matt. But just yesterday, this is how you know Tom Brady cares about the Madden ratings, because he posted an edited video of him running. So it's essentially just like an animated thing of him running in his backyard saying, submitting new evidence to be considered for my Madden NFL speed rating. You can't Photoshop a video. So even Tom Brady, Brady McMichael, cares about his Madden.
Because I saw the video.
Then why
I saw the video.
Why
it
respond?
Was funny. It was, he does not care.
It was a parody video.
It was a parody video.
It was like him all sped up.
Yeah. He did not care.
You know what I saw in that video?
I still think he cares.
It looked like some sort of beach house, maybe out on Nantucket.
Probably.
It looked very nice.
Yeah, probably.
That's what I saw in that video.
Or in the Hamptons.
Like, where is it? Maybe the Hamptons.
That's probably where it is.
Where is Tom Brady? He's got that crazy big ranch in Montana, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
I think that's one of those ones that's like the ultimate symbol of wealth. Like Ted Turner has one, Brady's got one. If you got a big ranch compound in Montana,
Phil Jackson has one.
Yeah. If you got one of those, then you're in the elite status of
is it
sports
expensive
wealth.
To live in Montana?
I mean, probably not comparatively, but you can get a lot of
land.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So,
but I think what they have up there, though,
yeah,
like the compounds that they have built up there.
What's special about living in Montana?
It's beautiful. Montana is the most beautiful place in the entire world, as far as I'm concerned. It's the prettiest place I've ever
been to. That's what I've heard. I've never been to Montana, but I've heard that.
Now, I've not been to
it.
Bali or, you know, or Bora Bora.
There's no beach there.
Yeah.
Or Thailand or anything, but it's the prettiest place I've ever been in my life. If you like the mountains, which I know you don't.
I didn't say I didn't like the mountains. I just don't prefer them.
What do you have against the mountains, Randy?
Yeah, I don't prefer them. I'll go. But
what the mountains do to you?
None. I prefer to go.
Yeah, but you'd prefer to go to the beach. And a lot of people would. Yeah. That's fine. I'm more of a mountain guy.
Yeah, but I don't think Tom Brady
Montana's awesome.
Tom Brady wasn't serious.
But so after Tom Brady posted that parody video to show his speed and how Madden should consider it, Madden then responded to that with a new animated clip that you can actually find in the game in Madden 2020 this season. So they responded. You know how during games Tom Brady will go to give his teammates high five and there's just always
them hanging?
Yes. Well, they responded with that. So there's a clip from Madden 2020 of him trying to give his teammates a high five, one missing, and then Julie Edelman turns to him on the bench and then gives him a high five after he's left hanging by one of his teammates.
You know,
so Madden
who's
taking a shot back.
You know who's a great teammate? Randy. Because this has happened like five different times since we started working together.
Oh, you've just left
I'll
him
go,
hanging?
No, I'll go to dap somebody up, and Randy will come from across the room to get
he's
me.
He's always getting left hanging.
I get left hanging.
So you're the Tom Brady of 92.9 The Game.
I'll take it. I'll take it. But it happened on Saturday at Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Somebody came up to say hi to Randy, because I have no delusions of grandeur. People want to meet Randy. They don't want to meet me. They come up to say what's up to Randy, and I put my hand out, and the guy walked away. And then Randy comes. Randy gets me.
It happens all the time.
It has honestly happened no less than five times since the show started. But Randy's always there to get me, which is great. I love it.
You know what? If you ever
it.
See Andy with his hand in the air or trying to give someone a handshake and gets left out, just go and shake his hand.
You ever have to do it where you dap yourself up?
Yes.
Well, I guess he doesn't want to.
That is pretty funny.
That's what I meant to do, was give myself my own high five.
Yep. Randy's always there for me.
Well, speaking of ratings, the NBA 2K20 ratings came out, so I'm wondering if players are going to get in on this, the NBA players, and whether they care about theirs. That game is going to be released on September the 6th. Anyone want to guess who the highest-rated player is on NBA 2K20?
Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard's number 2. He's at a 97.
Oh, Giannis.
No, Giannis is number 3,
96. Jabari Parker. Is it Jabari Parker?
It is not Jabari, but Jabari will be on with us tomorrow at
12:20. Is it Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant's number 5 at 96. You guys are missing a big time.
Is LeBron?
LeBron.
Oh, I didn't think they would put LeBron.
I didn't think so either. Yeah. I thought they would disrespect LeBron.
I thought they would disrespect him too.
No, LeBron.
But
James
they put some respect on his name.
Is number 1, so he's at a 97. So the highest rated NBA player is only at a 97. There's no 98s, no 99s. So I'm sure NBA players will be all up in their feelings.
Who will be the highest rated Hawk? Trey? John Collins?
John Collins.
Probably Trey.
You think Trey?
Yeah.
It'll either be one of the two of them.
Yeah, it'll be one of those two, but I think it'll be Trey.
Huh. I don't know.
It's a very interesting argument to have.
Chandler Parsons? He's the highest paid, not the highest
that's
rated.
That's exactly what he
$25 million. Good for him.
Nice.
Well, speaking of the NBA, if you're going to make a comment that's on video, it's going to stick with you for a while. And Shaquille O'Neal learned this lesson yesterday. So Shaq's Los Angeles Lakers won three straight championships from 2000 to 2002, then reached the finals again in 2004. And Shaq himself declared in an interview with ESPN that reaching four finals in 5 years is so difficult that he would do one thing, that it would never be done again, but he would do this one thing if it happened again.
If a coach takes a team to the finals, 4 out of 5 years, I'll kiss his feet on Fear Factor with cheese on it. I will.
With cheese on it?
It'll never be done again.
Why? I will kiss his feet on Fear Factor with cheese on it.
Why on Fear Factor?
Well, because back in the day when he did this video, Fear Factor was a pretty popular TV show.
So
Steve Kerr sent out the tweet with that video saying, "Hey, at Shaq, I'm going to do us both a favor and pretend that at D West 30 didn't send this to me this morning," talking about that clip. So Shaq responded to Steve Kerr saying, "I guess I'll see you in Fear Factor and make sure it's Kraft cheese, LOL." So, I mean, something to look forward to, maybe.
That's not even something that they did on Fear Factor, though. Like,
they ate some weird
stuff. Yeah, you'd eat bugs or you'd have to lay in a pile of worms or something like that. But I never saw anybody kiss anybody's feet with cheese on it.
I mean, that's why I was like, with cheese on it?
Shaq invented that. That's what's going on in Shaq's head. Like, that's what he came up with.
Shaq nasty.
That's disgusting. Have you seen Shaq's feet, by the way?
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Did
not get a pedicure?
They're pretty bad.
I don't know that a pedicure could fix what's going on with Shaq.
He needs some feet.
He needs a foot replacement.
Yeah, a foot something, man. Yeah, that's what he needs.
A footiotomy?
Guys, it is okay to get pedicures. I'm just letting you know that now.
I've never said nothing wrong with it. I'm good on it now.
I got two. They're okay.
Remember we were down in Mexico, with the fish.
With the fish eating the dead skin off your feet.
Yeah. Then I'm turned up dead, so I guess it wouldn't be desired.
Then you go belly up.
Yeah.
All right, Wendy. Excellent stuff. Wendy will be back in here in an hour, by the way.
Bye, Wendy.
Coming up next, though, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire world of all time to kick off the noon hour right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.